Tov, Chodesh Tov. Just wanted to start off by announcing that today's day of learning here at Yeshiva has been sponsored in memory of one of the grandparents of one of our alumni. So in honor of Leo Cohen, or better known as Eliezer Lippman ben Meir Michaela Cohen, loving husband, father, and grandfather, proud Jew and lover of Israel. So we should have him in mind, and certainly we should have the event in Tel Aviv in mind, as I guess details become more clear as the day goes on. Last week we learned together a midrash that I found very shocking and surprising. Today I want to share with you a midrash that is, I'm going to call it, surprisingly open and honest about Moshe, in a very fresh way, in an honest and Torah this week says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. This Chodesh, the idea of Rosh Chodesh, is for you. This, HaZeh. The Medrash picks up, quoted by Rashi, what does it mean, this one? What does that mean, HaZeh? So Rashi says as follows. Moshe, just imagine, is up on Har Sinai, 40 days, 40 nights, learning the Torah. And God gets up to Rosh Chodesh. And when God gets up to Rosh Chodesh and describes to Moshe what exactly he's looking for, what makes a new moon, when do you announce it, what's that molad thing that you're supposed to announce in shul, what do those words after that mean, and how exactly does the whole procedure go? Says Rashi, Nitkashe Moshe al molad halvana. It was very difficult for Moshe to understand this idea of the molad, to understand what exactly Rosh Chodesh was, how you knew when it began. And therefore, Beherelo Be'etzba Talvana Barakia. God showed him with his finger, not sure who the his is in that case, but God showed Moshe what the new moon looked like. And therefore, when Moshe gets up, it's Achodesh Hazelachem, Moshe's saying, it's that one. The one that looks like exactly that. That is the model for what Rosh Chodesh is. And I think what always certainly struck me about this midrash is just the fact that Midrash is telling us Moshe had a difficult time understanding a very particular difficult halacha. And I assume that the first time I heard this midrash or read this Rashi, the message that was associated with it was the importance of asking questions, and that even Moshe asked a question. But something tells me that here at Eretz Tzvi, asking questions isn't always the most uncommon thing, and I don't need to tell you about the importance of asking a question. But the truth is that often I think that what's perhaps even more important than asking a question is the way we ask a question, or what we have behind what we're actually asking for. What am I talking about? If anyone's ever been to, let's say, either an anti-Israel rally, or a speaker, or a pro-Israel rally or speaker, and there's always a slew of questions at the end. Okay? Now, most of those questions, something tells me, weren't thought about during the lecture, but rather, were very well planned and prepared before, because when you're there going to either an anti-Israel speaker or a pro-Israel speaker, your goal as the questioner is to do what? To prove to the audience, and perhaps to tell the speaker that you're wrong, you don't know what you're talking about. What do you do about this fact, and this fact, and this fact? You know, there are two places in your book that you contradict yourself, you don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes questions are used in an act of protest. Sometimes questions are used for an agenda, or just to get across your own point. How often, when we ask questions in shir to each other, does the question start off with, that's crazy, I can't believe that's what it means. Or this is ridiculous, doesn't make any sense, why should this be? And I often wonder to myself when I hear a question phrase like that, are we really interested in an answer? Or are we simply venting frustration, perhaps just venting? Are we really interested in answering and getting an answer to the question? I always remember the first time at Penn we had Jews for Jesus people try to stand outside and ask all the Jews questions. Occasionally you get that in various places in Yerushalayim also. And I remember saying, wait, can I ask you a question? To which my answer was always, I would love to be asked a question, but if only if you'll listen to my answer. And in the same way that you want to convince me of your truth and therefore get me to convince, if I convince you the opposite way, I need you to guarantee you'll go with it and not just ask the same question to the next person that comes by. How interested are we in answering a question? I can only imagine when Moshe said to Hashem, Nitkasheh, it doesn't mean Nitkasheh, it was difficult. And Moshe looked up, or looked across, don't know, and said, Hashem, I really want to understand this molad, but I'm having a very difficult time. I've been here for, it's now been 38 days and 12 hours. I've been learning straight. Well, those are extra hours, by the way. I've been learning, I've been trying my best, and I'm really having a difficult time understanding this. Can you please help me understand? I think that's a very different question than the questions that perhaps, than the way that we perhaps express our questions in other realms. I'll end with one very quick story. We had a tish once with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. It was actually in Englewood, New Jersey. It was on an alumni Shabbaton. And we asked him a question that I'm pretty sure he spent the next 2.5 hours answering. And eventually became an article, too. The question was as follows. Rav Lichtenstein, we all know that your Rebbe Mavuk, your primary Rebbe, your father-in-law, was the Rav. It was Rav Soloveitchik. But can you please tell us a little bit, stress on the a little bit about the other Rebbeim in your life that influenced you? And Rav Lichtenstein spent the next 2.5 hours talking about Rav Huttner and about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And there was one story that he told about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik I wanted to share with you. The story goes as follows. It's unclear to me who asked Rav Aaron Soloveitchik the following question, but the question went as follows. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, younger brother of Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, younger brother of the Rav. Why is it that you weren't your brother? Put it slightly differently. Why is it that you didn't become as great in Torah, great Talmud Chacham, great leader, like your brother came? Yeah, not sure who asked that question, but important point to answer. And Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, I'll tell you why. When my father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, would teach us something, we'd be sitting at home learning, and I'd be there, and the Rav would be there, and he'd tell us a Rambam, he'd tell us a Pshat in the Rambam. And my father would say to us, did you understand? And I, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, would of course say, yeah, I got it, no problem. And the Rav would say, no, Rebbe, nitkasheli, I don't get it, it was difficult. And my father slap him and say, okay, I'm going to say it to you again, get it this time. And it happened again and again until the Rav really understood. And Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, you see, it's not just about asking the right questions in the Rambam, it's about making sure you understand the answers. And it's about making sure you want an answer and that you're always looking for that answer in the most genuine way. So hopefully today we'll be zochet to follow in Moshe's footsteps, ask questions because we want to know, and hear our answers and try to answer as much as we can. Have a wonderful day.